Greetings, everyone, and praise be Jesus Christ. Last weekend, we began the new season of autumn, fall. This weekend, tonight, begins the new season of The Simpsons. The Simpsons are the longest-running American sitcom, the longest-running American animated program, the longest-running American primetime scripted TV series. And tonight begins the 35th year of The Simpsons. Long before The Simpsons, one of the longest-running TV series from the 60s belonged to a program called My Three Sons. It was a bit different for the 60s, the story of a widower, a father-in-law, and three sons. Different because there was no mom in the home. And in some ways, it was a refreshing display of a dad and his boys. If the scripture had a series title, it wouldn't be My Three Sons, but it could very well be My Two Sons. Over and over again in the Bible, we come across the story of two sons. In the very beginning, we meet Cain and Abel. Read a little further, we come across Jacob and Esau. Move into the New Testament, you meet Peter and Andrew, James and John. And today, of course, we're given one of two parables that Jesus told about two sons. You may remember the famous first one from Luke 15, the story of the prodigal son, the father and his two sons. Today, this parable is about two sons, but it's not as long. It's not as involved. But it does contain some important messages, some important truths that are worth our hearing. Three little points. Number one, the difference between the two boys. There is one question asked of them, or command. Son, go into my vineyard and work today. We saw the different responses. One has the right word, but the wrong action. One has the right word and the wrong action. One has the wrong word and the right action. And this reveals not just the differences between them, the struggle within them, but doesn't this have a resonance within us? That so often, between our words and our actions, there can be a gap. There can be a misalignment between those two things, a tug of war within us. G.K. Chesterton said, not only are we all in the same boat, but we are all seasick. And I think there's a resonance of that in us. And how beautiful it is to know that Jesus Christ knows this. He sees it. He's the one that told this story about these boys whose words and actions did not match up. That's beautiful because he sees it in us. And as we see this, as we experience this, it's important for us to see it in us. For us to humbly admit that yes, very often there is a gap between what I say and what I do. Point number two, we see here what really matters. In the end, what matters is our action, what we do or what we fail to do. This parable is found in Matthew 21, and in coming weeks, we're going to arrive at Matthew 25. That's a famous chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel about the Last Judgment. And it's in that chapter that we find those haunting words, "You did it unto me." Haunting words, because it shows forth how important our actions are. Actions matter. Upon them, we will be judged. And sometimes even the sinners and prostitutes are doing what we fail to do. That's certainly the case in this parable or in the experience of Christ. They were converting. And that brings us to point three. What a beautiful thing it is that you and I as human beings have the ability to change. We have the ability to turn our minds. We, in a fancy word, convert. That's a wonderful capacity that we have. To be able to turn away and go in the right direction. How beautiful that is in marriage. How often that needs to be exercised in marriage. How often that needs to be exercised in the priesthood. That we do not need to die in our sin. We don't need to remain hardened in our wrong words, our wrong choices. We don't need to remain in shame or to remain alone. You and I can change. That's a beautiful thing that we should be attentive of. You know, very often during the week I'll visit nursing homes, and I go into the Alzheimer's units. Maybe some of your loved ones are in these places. And I'm reminded of just how important my choices are. There may come a day when I can't choose. There may be a day when I can't make decisions. How important that the decisions I make today are done well. That I take advantage today to align my will with my intention, to my action with my words. That's a beautiful thing. What is oil on that wheel? What can help this to happen? I'd suggest this, what our second reading proclaims. To remember well that the scriptures really isn't about the two sons, but the good news is about the one and only Son of God, our Lord Jesus, who was the only one who had a perfect alignment between his will and his words, between his actions and his words. He was never out of line. In fact, he was always in perfect alignment with the will of God. St. Paul today shares with the Philippians that we can share God's attitude, Jesus' attitude. Did God have an attitude? Absolutely. And it was this, that though he was in the form of God, he did not deem equality to God something to be grasped, but rather he emptied himself, took the form of a slave, became obedient even unto death. Isn't that beautiful? That's the attitude, the disposition of God, of Jesus. And St. Paul says, have that same attitude in you that was in him. Through our humility, through our humble obedience, through great love. My friends, you and I, we can have not just the attitude of Christ, but you and I as baptized people, we have his life and his love. Some of us in a few moments will receive his very flesh and blood, his life in us and for us. This is a beautiful gift. It can encourage us to be aligned with God, with others, in unity with ourselves. And to live that way is salvation. As we begin this week, let us thank God for what he has begun in us. And let us pray to use the mind and the will, our words and our heart, to be more aligned to the praise and the glory of Almighty God. My friends, that's what Jesus invites. And he enables it. And every day is an opportunity for that to happen in us. May that happen, and may Jesus Christ be praised.